Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen. But before you tell
Thank
me...
You.
And anyway, the real reason I wanted to talk, could you just, anyhow, hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's really what we're talking about today. We're talking about space in all of its iterations. I mean, I was thinking initially about, because I live in L.A., parking space. There's a lot of construction in the city, as there are in many cities at this point. And so a lot of times construction vehicles or detritus will take up what's normally parking spaces, which make them even fewer and more in demand and more coveted. And I'm seeing more and more people kind of walking to their cars, getting in, scrolling through their phones, making phone calls, while this line of people wait behind them to try to, you know, get in line for this about to be empty, they think, parking space. It's like, really? Can you do your phone somewhere else? Like a parking lot? But that doesn't seem to be the thing. Public transportation, you know, no construction going on in there. Always crowded, places not just New York and not just L.A., but, you know, Chicago and Philadelphia, anywhere that has basically a bus system and a subway that is a good-sized city, usually has people using public transportation. And I am astonished at the number of able-bodied people who resolutely sit in their seats, again, scrolling
with
their phones or listening to music.
With their necks goosenecked, totally looking
and
down
they don't
into
get
their
up for like people with crutches, for hugely pregnant women, for the elderly. You know, I saw a picture the other day of this lady standing up. I'm not sure which transportation system it was, so I don't want to paste anybody's city in particular. But she was holding on to one of those vertical rails that you hold on to when you're too short to reach the strap. As
I wouldn't know anything about that.
And she had a cane. She looked perfectly peaceful, you know, and maybe she was waiting for the doors to open so she could go wherever. But the caption says, 92-year-old physician... Dr. So-and-so on her way to, you know, some hospital to do her usual pediatric work. Okay, all of those things together make whoever didn't give her a seat, all those people who didn't give her a seat, true cretins, but 92 would have been enough. You know, the cane would have been enough.
Should have been
what
a hint.
What the hell?
No, yeah, it's weird. I shouldn't say weird because we know my screen bias, but I am finding that it is worse. Now, this is something that should, in my view, be improving, and in fact, it's worsening. And there's a conscious. Here we have this thing: people who are driving and they're so unconscious, that it's terrifying. It's terrifying. And how how can you not be aware, sufficiently aware of your surroundings or who's there or who needs help or who's doing what to for that not to be then the first impulse?
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't. If anything, there just seems to be an invitation to, you know, just shut down further, encapsulate yourself further in your little phone space. And it's just, flat not
and
okay.
And I think part of it is on public transport anyway. You know, it used to be we didn't have these devices. And so if you were sitting there and an older or a pregnant or a disabled person was standing in front of you or across from you, you didn't have a phone to look at. So you might have developed a sense of guilt or shame for sitting when they could, you know, when they could be sitting. But now people just refuse to look up. It's like, if I don't see you, it's not happening, and I don't feel bad about it, and I'm keep looking at my phone.
Yeah, which is fine, except that A, it's unhelpful, and B, it's just wreaking havoc with both communication and relationship skills. Other than that, it's just fine.
Even beyond that, you know, it's like, okay, fine, figure out how to communicate, figure out how to relate. But it's like people need those seats, physically need those seats. I mean, there may be some people who, you know, who need them for other reasons, but they physically need those seats, and they should be given them. And the other thing is, we often find people, there are conveyances that have signs above a couple of seats in each car or in the physical, who physically need to sit. You know, so please give them up for the elderly or the disabled or a war veteran. In France, if you're a war veteran, even if you're able-bodied, you can have one of those seats. Most people won't because they figure, you know, most people who need them sit there, but it's a thing. And people honor that. We have gotten to the point now where we don't leave those seats empty, where we'll often sit in a thing, in a bench that has space for two, and put our packages on an empty space and sort of glare at anybody who says, excuse me, could you move those? I'd like to sit down. It's really bad.
Yeah, it is something that is just, it's, you shouldn't need, I'm sorry, I default to, you shouldn't need the signs.
Well, you shouldn't need the signs. You know, I remember when I lived in Boston, I was taking the train from somewhere at one point. It was at rush hour, you know, and the trains, a lot of them are old and creaky, and this was going to the oldest and creakiest part of the subway system. And a man got on the train. He had on overalls and he had a lunch bucket and had sort of gems on his head. And he looked exhausted, you know, and I figured he's been working all day. I'm just going to transfer on another train and go back to school. And I'm, what, 19 years old? I think I can give him my seat. So I stood up and gestured to him, and he burst out laughing. He says in this huge, loud voice that goes all up and down the car and mortified me, "Oh, girly, the day I have to have a pretty girl like you stand and me sit in your seat will be the day they carry me out here on a stretcher. No, darling, you sit down again." I'm like, oh, my God. And the whole train burst into laughter. But the lady next to me said, "You was raised right." I said, "Well, thank you. I'll pass that on to my mother," because sometimes she was just a bit stick. But it was just an automatic thing. It's like you see somebody who's elderly or who's exhausted, who needs to sleep more than you do, and you get up.
Yeah, just as if you're in a grocery line, I hate to say this, makes me sound old, I apologize, but there's somebody who's having difficulty. They've got, you've got 8, 12 items, and they've got one. Let them in.
Or they've got a basket and you have a cart.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're having a hard time holding on to it because they're frail or because they're wrangling a 2-year-old at the other side. Let them go ahead of you.
Yeah. It's this really weird thing happens, by the way, when you do that. They feel good. Everyone around you feels good. And you know what? You end up feeling good. It's just really hard to do that if you are so, again, engrossed in your personal space, which has now been reduced to, what is it, 3x4, depending
on... airline seat size.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, and the thing is, how much time do you actually think you're going to save by letting this car get in the line ahead of you, by letting, you know, somebody in the express lane who has even fewer things than you go ahead, by letting someone else go through the door? There seems to be this feeling that if you do that, you're just a chump because the world is not a nice place and this is just one more way people can, you know, get over on you. And that's sad.
It's both sad and it's lame. It's sad and it's lame. And the more important thing is, really, I had this yesterday, really and truly, at a 4-way stop sign.
And people don't know how to use those.
Which people don't know how to use anymore, and they don't know who really has the right of way. And
so you're right, just FYI.
Just FYI. And we're trying to communicate, but the person was, you know, couldn't see very well. So I was just like, go, just go. It's okay, just go.
Yeah.
And if you wait long enough, you can make eye contact with you can get it done. But if you're not paying attention, it's a real opportunity for T-boning.
True.
And
true. It's an expensive mistake to make, and we see it more and more. And it could be a critical mistake in terms of your physical health.
Right.
If the person isn't at a complete stop and just sort of barrels
rolls
the intersection, yeah. It's scary.
The point being, going back to the parking, it's like, yes, you seize a space, you claim a space, and then you get into that space. And the next thing, and this is just...
And you go into the mall or the grocery store or whatever and do what you need to do, and you don't make your car your home.
Right. And then you get out and you do it all over, you know, and you let the next person in. And it just keeps the flow going in a way that sounds really trite, but makes the world go round. And you just think that people would be a little, just a little more aware and conscious. But, you know?
Well, also, there are alternatives. You know, if you know you're going back to your phone and your car and you want to check your phone, then take a minute, you know, sit down on a planter or something inside the mall and look at your phone.
Sure.
You know, or at the movies or, you know, at the cart thing at the grocery store, and just check your phone. So you've done all that before you get into the car, and then the person waiting for your space can actually have that space. And it's not a big deal, but I think it's deeply appreciated. I think also it indicates that it's not always and constantly just about us.
Which is only a good reminder every single time.
I think one of the most charming things that ever happened to me was I was going somewhere. I think it was into a shopping center or something. And I was getting ready to open the door, and this little boy rushed ahead of me. And I thought, oh, he probably needs to go to the bathroom or something, whatever. And he was rushing ahead of me because he must have been like 7 or 8. He tugs the door, pulls it, and then he says, after you, miss. I'm like, oh! And his mother was behind, sort of smiling with approval, and I said, boy, your mother must be so proud of you. And he grinned, and he pointed to her, and she said, yeah, I am. And I said, yeah, you should be. What a great kid who's going to turn into a great man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Karen Grigsby Bates. Do the right thing.
After you, Jim.
After you.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.